Thank you so much. Now on this All Saints Day, I invite you to turn with me in your copy of God's Holy Inspired Word to the 19th stanza in Psalm 119. That'd be verse 145. Psalm 119 and verse 145. We want to read today about a hurting soul, a man who had great grief in his heart. And we learn from his life and example how we can face the hurts of life. So every eye looking at Psalm 119 and verse 145. The hurting soul says, "I cry out." It's not the last time he'll use that word cry. He uses it two more times in this section of the Psalm 119. "I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes." I cry out, second time he says it, to you. Save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning, and I... here's the third time, cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever." When I look at this hurting soul that gives us this psalm, I see four clear and distinct points that he makes about how we should face our grief and our sorrow in life. First of all, we see his sincere prayer. In verse 145 and 146, we see twice that word cry, or it may be call, in your copy of God's Word. It's the Hebrew word kara, Q-A-R-A, and it literally means to cry out with passion, with intensity, with vehemency, with fervor. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said that was effective kind of praying when he said the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And there are many who have gathered here today who have been crying with that same kind of emotion. You've been crying with fervor in your heart because you've been hurting, just like the psalmist had been hurting. Notice this hurting soul's sincerity in prayer, also seen in the fact that he cried out with his whole heart. This was not a half-hearted cry, but it says there that he cried with his whole heart. And that's how Jesus said that we should pray. In Luke 18:1, he said, "Men always ought to pray and not lose heart." So many times when we're hurting, we become disheartened. We become discouraged. And we need to learn from the psalmist's example to pray with our entire being, our entire heart. This is the way the psalmist prayed in Psalm 62 in verse 8. And I'll quote, "Pour out your heart before him." What a tremendous visual image that expression "pour out" is. Like a pitcher that is full of water that's being emptied out. That's the way the psalmist says that we ought to pray. With our entire being, with our entire substance pouring out of our heart. Notice his second cry in verse 146. It also was with sincerity of heart when he says, "Save me." Only God can save us. This is what the psalmist said in Psalm 50, verse 15, when he quoted God saying, "Call unto me." As a matter of fact, that word "call" in Psalm 50 and verse 15 is the same word as the word for "cry" here in verse 145 and 146. It's the word "kara," Q-A-R-A. "Call upon me," he says, "in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." Again, the psalmist said in Psalm 102, verses 1 and 2, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call." Same word as the word for "cry" here, kara, Q-A-R-A. "Answer me speedily." The Dallas Morning newspaper recently carried the article by columnist Steve Blow under the headline, "Gunman Faces Off with Prayer's Power." If you'll indulge me, I'll read you excerpts of that article. Insurance salesman Sherman Jackson, 36 years old, and his 7-year-old daughter Alexa had stopped for gas on their way to church. As they were about to drive away, a 30-ish fella walked up. "Hey, man, I need your help," he said. "Could you please help me jump start my car? I'll pay you if you help me." And so Sherman invited the fella to get into the front seat, Alexa in the back seat, and they drove off. As they drove, the unknown man pulled a revolver from his pocket and stuck it in Sherman's rib cage and said, "Give me all your money right now." In that moment, something came over Sherman. And just then he began to pray out loud with a cry at the top of his voice, saying, "Father in heaven, hear my cry and deliver me from this present evil." Then he did something very unusual, very courageous. He slowed his car, made a U-turn in the road, and started driving back to the gas station and pulled over to the side of the road. Then he told the unknown gunman, "I want to tell you about my Jesus." And in that moment, that gunman was dissolved into tears of repentance. Are you facing a day of trouble? Is your heart hurting today? Then learn from the psalmist. Cry out to the Lord, and He will answer. He will save you. But not only do I see this sincere prayer from the psalmist, I also see a sleepless prayer from this hurting soul. Looking there in verse 147, he says, "I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word." When the psalmist mentions morning in verse 147 and the night watches in verse 148, he's telling us that he hasn't gotten any sleep at all. He's been tossing and turning all night. His bed has become an instrument of torture. He's lying there waiting for sleep to come, but it does not. That describes many of us today. Many of you have recently spent nights just like that. Sleep will not come to your eyes. You're hurting. All the family has left. All the friends have gone back to their homes, and there you are, by yourself, in your bedroom, all the lights off, and you cry audibly to the Lord. This is what Jeremiah the prophet did. When he grieved over the rebellion of his protege, King Saul, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:11 that he, Samuel, cried out to the Lord all night long. Are you hurting today because of some rebellious person that you love? Are you hurting today because a grief and a sorrow has so gripped your heart? Learn from this hurting soul. Learn from the psalmist. Cry out to God when sleep is driven from your eyes. Notice what he did in the last part of verse 147. It says he cried for help. That's the instruction of Jeremiah the prophet over in Lamentations 2:19. It says, arise, cry out in the night. At the beginning of the watches, pour out your heart. Again, that imagery of a heart being totally emptied, like a pitcher of water being poured out totally and completely. Jeremiah says, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Now, something interesting about the word cry here in verse 147, it's different from the two previous instances of cry. It's a different Hebrew word. It's the word shava. It literally means to cry out with a high-pitched shout for help. If you've ever been around a baby any length of time, you have learned the different kinds of audible cries that that infant will make. There is the cry of hunger. There is that whining cry. There is that bad temper cry. And then there is that distinctive, genuine cry of pain. That's the cry of the psalmist here. Now, I want you to know, God never ignores that kind of cry. Can you imagine a parent sound asleep in their bedroom at night, and in the middle of the night, they're suddenly awakened by the cry of their baby in the room next to them? It is the distinctive and genuine cry of pain. Would that parent ignore that cry? No. And God won't ignore your cry either. If you're hurting today, cry out to Him. Cry out to Him audibly, and He will hear you. This is what the Bible says in Psalm 55, verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and He will hear my voice. But we see in this hurting soul not only a sincere prayer and a sleepless prayer, we also see his scriptural prayer. Let's unpack verse 149 and notice something distinctive about it. There is a phrase that is repeated twice. It is the phrase according to or in accordance with. And what the psalmist is doing here is establishing his basis for praying to God. Notice it with me in verse 149. He says to God, hear my voice, and here's the first use of that phrase, according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me, and here's the second use of that phrase, according to your justice. That word justice might appear as the word judgments in your copy of God's Word. Maybe it appears as the word law, or maybe it appears as the word ordinances. It's all one word in the original language of the Bible. It is a synonym for this book right here. It is a synonym for the Bible. And this is what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, God, my heart is hurting. And so I cry out to you in my pain. I cry out to you in my sleepless nights. And now I'm asking you to hear my prayer according to your justice, according to your judgments, according to your ordinances, according to your laws. God, this is the basis for my pained cry to you. Now, you can't pray that way if you don't know this book. But how wonderful it is to know this book and be able to cry out to God on the basis of what is said in the inspired pages of His holy, written, and inspired Word. Notice how he prays here in verse 149. First of all, he says, hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Where did he get the idea to pray that way? from this book right here, especially from the book of Psalms. Psalm 69 and verse 16 says as much. It says, and I quote, "Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good." And so the psalmist knew that verse of Scripture, and on the basis of that Scripture, on the basis of what was written in God's Word, he could say, "God, hear me when I'm in pain. Hear me according to your loving kindness." Notice the second "according to" here in verse 149. He says, "O Lord, revive me according to your justice," or judgments, or law, or ordinances. He's saying, "God, I want you to preserve my life. I want you to give me life. I want you to quicken me. I want you to stir a new work of life in me, because I am on the bottom of the barrel. I'm so discouraged. I'm so depressed that I need a fresh touch from you. I need your revival. I need your life. And I'm asking this based upon what you've already said in your word." Where is that in the word? In the fifth book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 and 16, the psalmist knew this. It says, and I quote, "See, I set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today, love the Lord your God and walk in his ways and keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live, that you may be revived, that you may be quickened in your soul, your spirit, your emotions, and in your physical life." Oh, friend, it's so helpful to know the Scripture when you're hurting and to be able to pray according to what is written right here in God's holy, inspired Word. But as I look at this hurting soul, I see that his prayer was not only sincere, sleepless, and also scriptural, but fourth and finally, I see that it was a sure prayer. Even though the psalmist is suffering, he's sure about two things. Look at it there with me in verse 150. He says, "They draw near who follow after wickedness." Very important word, the word "near." You're going to see it again very soon. "They are far from your law." Isn't that interesting? Polar opposites of proximity. Here are the wicked people. They're as near to me as they can get as they attack me. But the reason they do that is because they are far from this book. You know that kind of people at work, at school, in your neighborhood. They are far from this book. And because they're far from this book, they've come near to you to attack you, to harass you, to discourage you, to persecute you. But notice how that word "near" is used again in the very next verse, verse 151. "You," he says to God, "you are near, O Lord." What he is saying is, "Dear God, I am so hurting in my soul, in my life, because of these evil people who have come near to me to cause me harm. But I know one thing for sure. You also are near me, and you were there first before them. Because I know in your word you've promised me that you're never going to leave me. You're never going to forsake me. You're never going to sleep or slumber." The Bible says in the book of James, if we draw near to him, he's going to draw near to us. Oh, dear hurting soul today, the best thing that you could do in your grief and in your heartache and heartbreak is get as close to God as you can. And when you do that, you'll be assured of his wonderful presence. But the psalmist was sure about one other thing. In verse 152, look at it here, every eye. He says, "Concerning your testimonies." That word "testimonies" is a synonym for the Bible, for that book that you hold in your hands. "Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old." What an important word, that word "known." It's a word of sureness. It's a word of certainty. He didn't say, I have hoped. He didn't say, I have wished. He didn't say, I have guessed. He didn't say, I have surmised. But he said with bedrock assurance, I have known of old that you have founded them. What is them? The testimonies that he's already spoken of in the same verse. This book that you hold in your hands, the Bible. I have known of old that you have founded the Bible for how long? Forever. For eternity. Think about how long forever is. It's a pretty long time. Forever goes backwards a long ways. Before the book of Genesis was ever written, he's saying, your word was founded. Before the first human was ever created, before God ever breathed the breath of life into Adam, he said, your word was established. Before he ever created this earth, he's saying, your word was settled in heaven. Before you ever created this galaxy that our earth is in, God, your word was firm and grounded. God, before you ever created the universe, you founded your word. Forever goes backwards a long time, but it also goes forward a long time. When he says, I have known of old that your testimonies are founded forever, he was looking into the future. And he was saying, God, I know that your word is settled even when my lifespan is over. I know that your word is settled and grounded and established even when I'm in eternity with these loved ones that we've remembered here today. God, I know that that word forever means that your word was established and grounded even after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even after the end of the age, God, I am sure about your blessed book. And dear hurting soul, it's wonderful to have assurance in your time of need. And you can do that today. I am sure of one thing, and that is God is real. And he is here today. And he is offering his help and his comfort. I am sure of his word when he says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. I am sure of his word when he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you can be sure of it today also, friend. Even though you might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, even though your life is filled with so many uncertainties and unanswered questions, that's normal. You can be sure of one thing. God is real. And his word is firm and settled. And we can trust in it today. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Dear God, in this moment we bow before you. Many in this building who are hurting. Many in this building who feel all alone. Who feel forgotten. Oh, dear God, hear their cry. Give them the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that keeps our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we pray today that if there is anyone here who has never trusted you as Savior, that they'll be sure about your promise that you loved this world so much you gave your only begotten Son. And if only they would believe in him, they would not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, I pray for those that are looking for direction in their lives. I pray that they would look for you and for your peace that passes all understanding and the peace that keeps our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, there are those that are here today that are so heartbroken that they need the special assurance that you haven't left them. How grateful we are that you are with us even as we walk through the shadows of the valley of death. So God, in this moment, we yield ourselves to you, certain that your word is true. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.